You know that the current theme for our messages on Sunday morning at Edgewater has been while we're waiting. And we're thinking about the healthy and productive things that we can do while we're waiting. And not just while we're waiting for God to bring a lead pastor to Edgewater, but we're waiting for a lot of things in our life, right? Most of us are waiting for things every day. So we need to have healthy, productive things to do while we're waiting. In the last few weeks, we've been talking how important it is to connect in healthy relationships while we're waiting. And we spent 2 weeks talking about our primary relationship. If you follow Jesus, that's connecting with God. And we talked about that. Last week, we talked about connecting in healthy relationship with extended family. And today, we're going to talk about connecting with the rest of our world, the rest of the people that we run into on a daily basis. So, I'd like to ask you a few questions, and as usual, I really do expect you to answer. When you find a great restaurant, what do? You what?
Keep it to myself.
Keep it to yourself. Okay. You tell people about it, right? I remember when I moved into this area, a bunch of people came up and told me about the Mecca. Right? Why did they do that? Because it's good. Because they love me. And they wanted to share something good with me. Absolutely. It's important. We like to share good things, right? We don't keep it to ourselves. What other things do you like to share? What are the good things you like to share? Anybody? Music. What else? A good deal? The gospel. We're getting there. We're getting there. She's going to preach my message. Baseball standings. Okay. Oh, boy. See that? See? See? Yeah. We like to share all kinds of good things, right? Have you ever listened to a little kid share something they're excited about? It's pretty awesome. One of my grandchildren, Jackson, loves garbage trucks. I mean, that's a weird thing, right? But when he sees a garbage truck, he gets so excited. He wants me to see it. We watch garbage truck videos on YouTube. Did you know that there was such a thing as garbage truck videos for little kids? I try to filter them by length because he wants to watch the 12-minute ones. You know, I try to get him down into the 2-minute range. It's really fun because he's so excited. He's pot, 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 pot. Watch the garbage truck. Watch the garbage truck. And I go, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. That's really exciting. But he's got a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm for sharing that with me. We like to share good things. Now, I don't say this to bring us down or to shame us, but why is it? And I'm talking to myself. I'll say it this way. Why do I feel sometimes so timid and tentative about sharing the life of Jesus with people? Why do you think I feel that way? Put it on me. What might be some reasons that I might feel timid and tentative in sharing the life of Jesus? Not sure if others are interested. Yeah, I'm not sure I know all the answers. You are absolutely right. I know I don't know all the answers. They might ask me a question I don't know the answer to. Anybody else? They might think I'm kooky. They do that already, but yeah. Yeah. Did you guys hear that? Sometimes we feel like we haven't represented Jesus very well up to that point. So when we say something, we haven't backed it up with actions. Boy, that's good. I didn't expect anybody to say that. All right, so there are lots of reasons that we have, right, for not sharing. So that's what I want to talk about today. Because it is a good and healthy thing to be able to show and tell the life of Jesus, the kingdom of God. It's really, really important to do that and connect spiritually with people in our life who are outside our extended family, people that we meet in passing during the day, people that we work with, people that we go to school with. So that's what we're going to talk about. While we're waiting, we have many opportunities to connect spiritually with friends, acquaintances, and people we meet in passing. And this can feel overwhelming. I've had people say to me, how can I add one more thing to my life? Have you ever said that? Well, we're going to talk about that. I want to use a really basic outline to talk about this today. We're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, how, and why of connecting spiritually with our world. And we're going to start with the who. And we're going to start with a verse that you've heard me probably say about 3 or 4 times in the past 3 or 4 weeks. So, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the first important question to answer is, before I even talk about who I go to, I want to talk about who do I go with? Because sometimes when we're out there, we feel like we're all alone sharing about Jesus. Is that true? Not really. We're part of something much bigger than ourselves, right? We're a part, if we follow Jesus, we're a part of a pretty big extended family. And I tell you, when I know that, every day I ask people to pray for me, that I would be good at showing and telling the gospel, that I would be good at it. Because I'm not good at it on my own. Did you hear what Peter said in that song? Be my light, so I can be yours and shine. I can't do it on my own by no strength of mine. Does anybody feel that? Anybody feel that's true? I feel that's true. I can't do it on my own. So I do it in the context of family. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But I don't go alone. I go with my extended family. Jesus went with his extended family, didn't he? And when he sent people out, he sent them 2 by 2. And we'll talk about that a little more too. It's not a solo act. We need extended family. We need supportive community. Okay, now let's talk about who do I go to? Who do I go to? We are connect with all people, all nations. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, Jesus said that he came to the people of Israel. He said he came to the lost sheep of Israel. But you know what? He went to Samaritans too. And Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. He went to the other folks. Later on, Peter was instructed to go where? To the Gentiles, which means anybody who wasn't a Jew. He went to them. He was told to do that. God's kingdom is for anyone who will surrender to the king. So really, there's no us and them. But we like us and them, don't we? I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, we consider us part of an us. And then there's them. Now, it's different for each one of us, right? You know, we all have different lines that we draw. But they have no place in the kingdom. So we call each other on that. If we're good friends to one another, we say, wow, it really seems like you're leaving those folks out. We don't want to do that. There's no us and them. Sometimes we act like there are people who are so far away from the gospel, they can never get to the kingdom. You ever say that about, well, that guy's pretty far away. Yeah. Some people who seem really far away are closer. They really are. I seemed pretty far away to a lot of my friends. And I got in. Everyone deserves the opportunity to see and hear about Jesus and his kingdom. Another answer to the who question is who do I connect with is this concept called persons of peace. And I want to read a little part of Luke 10. I'm going to read before what's up there. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So he sent out an advance guard, right? And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Oh, that sounds like fun. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. And then he says this, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. He says, there'll be people who will take you in. He says, stay there and eat and drink. They're going to feed you. They're going to house you. Jesus told them, you're going to meet persons of peace along the way, and they're going to want to serve you. Paul went to Lydia's family in the book of Acts and found persons of peace there. There are already people in our lives who we know, outside of our extended family, who are persons of peace to us. Can you think of anybody who doesn't follow Jesus, maybe even hostile to Jesus, but who has welcomed you into their life? Can you think of a person like that? People you work with, people you go to school with. There are people that have welcomed you into their life, and they care about you. They even listen to you, even though they disagree with you. There's a really great saxophone player who, I just have a great time with him. And he says he's an atheist. And he's a really good debater. And he's much smarter than I am. So what chance do you think I have of debating him into the kingdom? Go ahead, say it. Zero. But you know what? He likes to talk with me about spiritual things. Isn't that weird? He's an atheist. But we've had a lot of spiritual conversations. I'm going to keep talking to him. I think God wants me to invest in his life. I don't even know why he wants to talk to me. I mean, as a musician, he's way above me in level. He's got lots of friends. He doesn't need me. But God put me in his life as a person of peace. So I can ignore that, but I'm not going to. I think there are people like that in your life too. You just need to think of them. Another thing I want to say in response to who we share with is, you don't have to chase people. You know? We see this in a really remarkable and sad story in Mark 10. Jesus is walking, and a man runs up to him and falls on his knees in front of him and says, "Good teacher, what do I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, does that seem like that guy might be a person of peace? He fell on his knees in front of Jesus. And they have a conversation. And Jesus says, "Well, obey the commandments." And the guy says, "All these things I've done since I was a boy." I couldn't say that, but he said it. And this is what happens. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him. And he said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And it doesn't say Jesus chased after him. It doesn't say that. He left the ball in his court. And he loved him. But Jesus didn't try to debate him into the kingdom. Okay, what? What do we do as we go out and try to connect with people spiritually? Well, the Great Commission, which we've read in Matthew 28, says, "Make disciples, baptize, and teach them to obey." We want people to know what it's like to follow Jesus, to have the life of Jesus. I have a good friend who says, "The life of Jesus is the best life you can possibly have." I love that. I love it. It is. And so we want people to know that. We want people to live that life. That's what a disciple is. We want to see them baptized. We want to see them identified with the family of God, right? We want to see them immersed in God's family and brought in. And we want them to actually do what Jesus says. It says, teach them to obey everything. I need a lot of help with that obey everything part. I need to be taught about that too. That's a lot, right? Now, sometimes we think that all we have to do is tell people something and they get it. Are you like that? Is that the way you learn? I don't. This is what I think. People need to see the life of Jesus in you, in me, in our extended family in order to get it. It's like this brother over here said, you know, if you're not showing the life of Jesus, they're going to feel a disconnect when you talk about the life of Jesus. So people need to see us receiving and sharing the grace of truth of God in our day-to-day life so they can get an idea of what it might look like for them. One of the best ways to teach people how to obey Jesus is for me to obey Jesus. My dad used to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." That did not work out so well. If he had said, "Do as I do," it probably would have went better. So, I am thankful that I've had a lot of great people model this for me. My mentor, Mike McCoy, he has these family gatherings every week in his house. He has a family dinner, and everybody in his family gets to invite persons of peace. people who don't follow Jesus yet. And they invite them over for dinner, and they do things like pray for healing. And they thank God together. And you know what? That rubs off on people. And even people who don't know Jesus would like to be prayed for. And they do this in the context of their family. And it's rubbing off. So because I'm trying to imitate Mike, I'm doing that in my family. And you know what? It's pretty cool. I get to talk to people because they see something. When they see little kids, thank God, they want to know about that. They want to know about that. I have a friend, Charlie, who prays for people all the time. He walks up to people in Pete's and asks them if they want prayer. That's how I've learned how to pray for people. It's like being around Charlie. You know? And people who don't necessarily believe in God, they say yes. So I think people need to see it. They need to see it. And that's a really important part of the what. When. As part of your daily routine. You don't need to schedule this in. This is evangelism time right here. 3 o'clock on Wednesday. It's not what it's about. The verb in go make disciples, the verb go, is as you are going. That's what it really should be translated as. As you are going, you make disciples. So you don't add things to your schedule. But you need to be ready for whenever you get to do it, right? And 1 Peter, it says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Whenever. You ever get taken unaware? You know, somebody will ask you a spiritual question, you didn't expect it. And you kind of go, that's the answer? I mean, that happens to us. Take a breath, take a step back and go, could you say that again? It happens. And we worry that we won't have the right words. But we have to trust the Spirit. We have to trust. And we do it, Peter says, with gentleness and respect, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It's a lifestyle. It's not something we put into our schedule, not something we add in later. It's already in there. It's as we're going. Where do we do this? We can connect with people spiritually wherever we are. Two of the most common places are networks and neighborhoods. You guys are all in networks. Did you know that? You are. You are probably connected to a network of coworkers. If you work with people, you have a network. If you go to school, you have classmates and teachers. That's a network. If your kids play a sport, you've got a network that you're with all the time. Right? If they play soccer or basketball, you're already sharing life with a bunch of people every Saturday. A good friend of mine, Kristen, she said that this last year, she had 3 kids playing soccer. That's brutal. But she spent a lot of time on the sidelines talking to parents. How about that? And you know what? There happened to be people who wanted to have spiritual conversation on those sidelines when they weren't yelling at the referees. So she was able to have really wonderful, wonderful connection with people at the soccer game. That was her network, and she milked it. She really did. It was cool. She invited a whole bunch of people to our day camp. It worked out great. And because she just seized the moment. You know, hey, I'm in this network. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use this network. Neighborhoods can be another natural setting. Some people live in neighborhoods where they don't ever see their neighbors. I realize that. You know, I lived in a neighborhood once where everybody came home and went right in their house and shut the door. I mean, they never were outside. You could never tell who your neighbors were. Now, that's not the neighborhood I live in now. And talk to your neighbors. You know, I have a neighbor across the street. He's got a bunch of little kids running around, and he's always out there. He's a stay-at-home dad, and I get to talk to him because he's there. I walk across the street. I ask him how he's doing. We talk about spiritual things. He hasn't told me yet what he believes, but he asks questions, and we have a chat. So there are people in your neighborhood who probably would talk to you. Another thing I've seen people do is walk around the neighborhood and pray for their neighborhood. Pray for each house. And sometimes somebody's outside. And you can say hi. So it's not that complicated. Use the networks you already have. Pray in the neighborhood you already have. It's right there. How do we do it? All right, this is the answer that we've given the last few weeks as well. We do it in the flow of grace. Remember, we talked about how we're designed to operate in this flow of grace that starts with God. He initiates everything. And as we go to God, He pours grace and truth into us. And we receive it. And we let it work in us. And we commit to the healing and the change that we have to work on in that relationship with God. And you know what? If that happens, where does it overflow into? Our families. If you expect to have a great family without that, ain't going to happen. There's a flow of grace. And when it flows into our family and out over onto the rest of the world, well, guess what happens? People want to know about Jesus. So, if we don't have the flow of grace starting and continuing through us and out through our extended family and out into the world, we can't do this. We really can't. Our job is we want to further God's kingdom. We want His will to be done. And we do that by receiving His grace and truth and sharing it. Our job is show and tell, right? Show and tell. Proclaim and demonstrate. Invite and challenge. Any words you want to use. We need both. We need truth. We need grace. But Peter reminds us in that verse I quoted before, do it with gentleness and respect. When I was in college and not yet a follower of Jesus, we had a group on campus who I will not name, and they had a specific strategy to get people to follow Jesus. And they would come around and hit us in the head with these little booklets called the Four Spiritual Laws. You know, you ever get slapped over the head with one of those? And they weren't very nice, most of these folks. And they actually seemed kind of mad at me. And like I was the enemy or something, you know? And I didn't feel a lot of grace there. They might have been telling me truth, but I couldn't hear it. Now, eventually, one of those people actually did show gentleness and respect. And guess what? I started to follow Jesus by those very same people. And they discipled me. But the initial contact was not a happy one, let me tell you. Because there was not much gentleness and respect there. So, kindness, empathy, these are the things we need to have. We need to model being caring about the things God cares about, helping the marginalized, helping the poor, being involved in healing. When we model those things with gentleness and respect, it's gonna pay off. There'll be fruit. So there's the how. And then the why. Why do we do this? Why do we connect with people outside the kingdom, outside in the rest of our lives? So that God's kingdom will come and His will be done. That's what we want. We want to see that happen. But we get a great benefit when we obey and when we do share. We get this amazing benefit. Our needs will be met. We all have a need, I believe. I believe we have two really important needs. To be part of something bigger than ourselves, and to change the world. I think every person really wants that. They want to be connected to something bigger than themselves, and they want to change the world. Well, guess who meets those needs? You know, as part of Jesus' family, I'm part of something that's worldwide. I have brothers and sisters everywhere. Have you ever experienced that? It's a cool thing. You go to another country, there's a language barrier, there's a culture barrier, but you've got brothers and sisters there. It's a beautiful thing. And I have the same purpose that they do. It's exciting. And Jesus says, hey, you get to change the world as part of my family. That's what we're about. We're a part of making things right in this world. And that's attractive. That's attractive to people. So, in closing, I want to talk about applying what we've been talking about today. Because you know how I feel about application, right? If we don't do anything about this, I might as well not talk. So, let's talk about how to apply it. There are three things that I'd like you to pray about this week. They all start with P. I didn't make them up. They come from a book called Family on Mission by Mike and Sally Breen. And they say, as you're thinking about connecting with people out in your world, pray about these things: passions, possessions, and problems. Passions. What do you love? What do you love? I love music. And because of that, I get to connect with a lot of musicians. So that passion connects me naturally with people. It just happens. I don't have to force it. So what passion of yours does God want to use to connect you with people? Sports is an incredibly intimate way to connect with people. Some people bond over watching football games. Imagine that. Whatever your passion is, explore that. What about possessions? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about resources that you have. What skill can you teach? Can you coach? Can you tutor? Are you able to fix things? Because if you have those resources, you can connect with people that way. I know a lady who tutored kids who were having a lot of difficulty in a high school nearby, and every one of those kids that she tutored wound up following Jesus. Because that relationship was enabled her to connect with these kids. Really, really cool. And then problems. Where do you see a need for God's will to be done and for God's kingdom to become? Where do you see that? Because a problem is just an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity for you to cooperate with God. So where do you see? In your networks, in your neighborhood, what problems and needs do you see? And what resources are already there? Because every neighborhood and every network, if they have problems, they also have resources. There's also good things in there that you want to capitalize on. And then, secondly, I want to encourage you to experiment. I want to encourage you to take short-term baby steps, okay? Because a lot of times we say, well, I am going to share Jesus with every person on my kid's soccer team. And that's going to happen. Probably not, right? Set a small, achievable goal, okay? And tell somebody about it so they can ask you about it later. Right? There are also study questions on the back of your notes. For those of you who are in small groups, Bible studies, life groups, you can look at those things. Another thing I would recommend that you do is look over the scriptures that we've talked about today, read those scriptures, meditate on them, and ask God what he's saying to you through those scriptures. So I'm going to pray for us right now in this process, and then we're going to sing a prayer to God. But let me pray for us and ask God's help as we think about connecting with our world. Father God, we do thank you that you initiate relationship with us, that you open up your kingdom to us and say, I'll be your God, I'll be your father. I want you to be my child. Father, help us to open our arms to you, to open ourselves completely, to receive your grace and truth, and enter into the healing and transformation that we need. I pray that you would help us so that that grace and truth would transform us, that it would overflow into our families, and then overflow into the world around us, Lord. I pray that you'd show us persons of peace in our lives that we are to share with, and give us the words, and give us the strength, and give us what we need to share your kingdom with people. We look for you to be glorified, Lord. We look for you to be praised. And we pray it in Jesus' name.